For our responsive reading this morning, if you would turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verses. Romans 5. This tells us the basis of our peace with God. That to have the peace of God in our hearts, we must have peace with God first. And that God made peace not according to the mind of man, but according to the word of God, he made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, this has nothing to do with our great capacities to fathom the depths of the riches of God, who sent Christ to be the redemption for our sins. It is believing God at his word against all the words of men. The scripture says, concerning us, and it's so true, Paul says, you do believe the witness of men. The witness of God is greater. He says, you're so gullible. You read your history books, you believe it. It's all a lie. The Americans write history from the American bent. All our wars are justified. German history books write all their wars are justified. We're wrong. You see what I mean? Every nation has its own history through its own bent. You see? So that there's no true history. You read the history books of the different nations concerning the world wars we've been through, you would be shocked. I think we'd be kind of shocked now if we read what they were writing in newspapers throughout the world about the United States, wouldn't you? So this is the truth of God, you see. It doesn't have to do with men. God says, you do believe the witness of men. Well, all right, the witness of God is greater then. You believe what men say. You're so easily taken in. And here's the witness of God to us. Now, God is speaking, and notice what he has to say. First verse, therefore being justified, how? By faith. Justified means just as if I had not sinned. I confess my sin. Christ has paid the penalty for my sin. The penalty is death. Death is a one-time penalty. You can't die twice in the legal courts of the land. A man cannot be tried twice. You can't pay the penalty twice. If a man has 10 murders, he's judged guilty for one, and he pays the death penalty. The other 9 pay on the side, but he's paid the penalty, you see. Penalties can only be paid once, the penalty of death. So Christ died for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That we have that access by faith into this grace. And grace in the Greek is unmerited favor. You don't merit it. God gave it to you as a gift. There's no one here or ever has existed or lived in this world that has merited God's salvation. Jesus says, you're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another one. God hath put the whole world under sin, that he might have mercy upon all. You see? Gracious of him. He doesn't leave you doubtful. Wouldn't it be terrible if you had to sit here today and try to figure what your average is and if you hit 70, you're going to get in? Imagine. But he judges the whole world, you see, under sin, that he might have mercy upon all, you see? He makes it a free gift, unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
And patience experience hope.
And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
For when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he
May I mention just in passing here, I don't want to, as I've said, bring another message, but notice this. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. You don't have it by nature. If you're not the kind of a man or a woman in your lovingness to others that you should be, it's not God's fault. God says His love can be shed abroad in your heart only when the Holy Ghost dwells within you. This is the transforming of the human personality, you see. Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, it's a whole new life. You're new creatures. You've been born again. It's a brand new life. You who were hateful are going to be loving. Isn't that tremendous? You see, how does it happen? The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And you who have been loving by nature are going to be more loving. All right? Some of you have a lovely, you know, nice nature. But you haven't reached it yet until you have the love of Christ in your heart. Then it will be shed abroad, you see. Others will see the difference, no matter how wonderful you've been as a human being. When that love comes into your heart, it's tremendously different. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die.
But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Much more then, if you want to do a wonderful thing, go through here and mark out the much more. They're wonderful. Much more. Much more than being now, present tense, justified just as if you had not sinned. By His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him.
For in wrath we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life.
I'd underline that verse if I were you. That is a tremendous verse. And what it is saying here is, if while you were enemies, afar off from God, alienated, dead in trespasses and sins, God so loved you that He gave Christ to suffer death for your sins. And He reconciled you to Himself when you came to the cross and accepted it. He says, now if this be true, that when you were enemies, I saved you, then don't you see that now I'm risen from the dead? Do you not understand that I can keep you? If in my death you were reconciled, then by my life you're safe. You see? Isn't it? You know, it's so... If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Again, much more, notice, present tense, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What does He say in Hebrews? We have now a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities and tested in every point, even as we are, yet without sin. And He ever lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that wonderful? This is what your faith is. It's not some senile thing. That I might know Him, what? And the power of His resurrection. You see? Tremendous truth. I'll read that last. Let's read the 11th verse together. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We joy in God. I think you can see, I joy in God because I've received the atonement. I hope you really know yourself. This is where you have problems. If you don't know yourself in your utter, abject sinfulness and your capacities for sin, you've missed the boat. If you pride yourself that you are a good woman or a good man, you don't understand the Word of God. Jesus says, "Why callest thou me good? Only God is good." They didn't understand who he was. He's telling them, "Why are you calling me good? Don't you see that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? When you call me good, you're calling me God." You see? Any goodness that we might think comes out of our flesh, we cannot possibly understand the Scriptures. In my flesh there dwells how much good? No good thing. It's just a matter of knowing yourself, that's all. Knowing your capacities, knowing your imaginations, knowing everything about yourself, what you're like, and knowing yourself to have fled to the cross and said, "I have joy in God through the atonement." There's no joy outside the atonement. Because you will always be facing your sin. You will be facing your personality. You will be facing all the problems you have about the flesh and not understanding it and crying out, "What's wrong with me? Why? Why? Why?" And God is saying, "If only you'll see yourself and come to me, I'll give you a new life, a new appetite, new affections set on things above." You see? Brand new. Brand new. New creatures. That's what God wants. May God add his blessing to this precious portion of his holy word.